here in Acts 20, every word that Paul has said in this farewell address to the Ephesian elders, he has said to them, follow me. That's what he's saying to them. But then listen here what he warned them that the false prophets would do. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So what's the difference? How am I going to know the difference? When Paul says, be ye followers of me, he's teaching here, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, he has reminded them, first of all, that he received this ministry to testify of the gospel of God's grace from Christ Jesus, the Word, the gospel himself. Paul received this word from him and this ministry, and he received it for one purpose, and it was to go forth and to testify, to proclaim, to declare the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And he reminds them that it was through this word of grace that they were begotten, that the Holy Spirit gave them life, that they were born again through this word. And it's through this gospel that the Holy Ghost made them elders, made them overseers of the church to go forth and preach this word of grace, just like it happened to Paul. And so Paul says, therefore, as I've preached the truth of this gospel to you, you do the same thing for others. And he says here, he said this in 1 Corinthians 4. Look there with me real quick. Hold your place here in Acts 20. And you'll want to hold your place in 1 Corinthians 4. We'll come back here again, or at least to the book, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Here's what he's teaching them. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I preach the gospel of Christ. You got a lot of people coming in Christ's name, but you got somebody here that's preached the gospel of Christ to you, and through this word, you've been given life. And he says, wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me. Now, he reminded them of the example that he set before them and how he preached this gospel to them. This is sort of some review for you. He said, I preached it to all men, Jew and Gentile. He says, I preached it in every place, public or private, this same gospel, in humility, trusting Christ, the power and wisdom of God. And he says, I preach repentance toward God, repentance from self to God, repentance from the dead works of dead religion, of vain imaginations, of vanity and sin that we are in our flesh, to God. That's what I preach, repentance toward God. And I preach faith in Christ Jesus, faith in Him who is the author and finisher of our faith, faith in Him who is the captain of our salvation, faith in Him who is the head of the church, on whose shoulder the government rests. I've preached repentance from everything else to God and faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, now you take heed to yourselves and you feed the church, which He purchased with His own blood. And the sheep food, the food for sheep, is Christ the bread. And he says, and just as I came to you trusting Him, and throughout my ministry I trusted Him, even now, he says in verse 32, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, here's our text for tonight. Paul reminds them of another example he set before them. What I want you to get tonight is that The word of the gospel of Christ cannot be separated from what this example that Paul's going to talk about here that he set before them. I want you to see this now. They go together. And I hope by the end of the message you see why they go together. Verse 33. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. There were some preachers that came with him, Barnabas, different ones. He said, I ministered to my necessities and to theirs, Timothy and Silas. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, nothing Paul preached and nothing that Paul did was for personal profit. That's what he taught us when he said about how I preached this gospel. Now we said, and in everything I did, it wasn't for personal profit. He received some gift from churches that where he had preached already. But if he lacked anything and he needed anything, Paul worked and he made up that which he needed, and he gave and provided for those that were with him, that were there ministering with him, because to free up the people that, to whom he preached. Now, first thing I want you to see is Paul got this light from Christ, the same as he got his gospel. He says here, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's where he got this light. Every exhortation, every doctrine in the Scriptures gets its light from Christ. And here's the second thing. The effectual grace of God made Paul to walk in this light. The same that it made him come forth and preach this gospel, the effectual working of God's grace in his heart made him walk in this light, that it is better to give than to receive. That's the second thing. Every doctrine receives its glory from Christ, and every doctrine is made effectual in the heart by the Holy Spirit through Christ the light. And here's the third thing. He did it for the glory of Christ. It all redounds. It's all for the purpose of the glory of Christ. Now turn back over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. He says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, the gospel, the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:11. If we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? There was some coming into the church at Corinth who were saying, teaching them to give, and they were becoming givers. And they were giving to these false prophets. He said, if they're exercising this power over you, shouldn't we, rather? But, nevertheless, we have not used this power. He had the authority. He had the power to command them to do this. But he says, we've not used this power, but have suffered all things. Here's the reason why. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, he spent all this time in Acts 20 talking about the importance of the gospel of Christ. And now he's teaching them the reason that I worked and supported myself and those with me and didn't compel you and constrain you and make you to support me was because I didn't want the gospel to be hindered. It was for the word he preached. It was for the gospel he was preaching that he did the thing he did. Now, look over to chapter 10. Let me restate these points to you. Every exhortation, every word, go to 1 Corinthians 10. Every word throughout the volume of this entire book is going to only be understood in the light of Christ. We've got to begin with Christ if we're going to understand why it's being taught. And it's only going to be made effectual in the heart by Christ working in you effectually through the Spirit of God. And every exhortation in the volume of the book concerning our walk has the end and chief purpose of making you, the believer, invisible. As you hold forth the light, lest you should hinder the gospel of Christ. The carnal man won't get this, can't grasp this. Carnal religion can't grasp this. But the light which regenerated sinners that have been visited by divine visitation, the light that they're going to behold in you, the believer, is your aim for them in your dealings with them and everything you did with them was for them not to look to you, but to look to Christ. It's called subjection to the gospel of Christ. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and he can't subject himself to the Word of God. It's one way men deny the power of God. They can't just subject themselves to the fact that this gospel saves. God saves through this gospel of Christ, his Son. Now look here, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Everything's done to make you invisible that you can give this gospel. Now watch this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This is what Paul said, that the gospel is not hindered, that they can hear the gospel, see Christ in the gospel, and not be looking at you. And he says, give none offense. Now watch this. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, those that are without, Jew or Gentile, nor to the church of God, nor to brethren. Even as I please all, in all, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You see that? Everything's to be done to make you, when you look at a candle in a dark room, and you sit and you enjoy that flickering flame in the darkness and how it lights the room, you're not looking at the candlestick. You're looking at the flame. You're looking at the light of the candle. These words of exhortation and everything you just read, did you notice how it was all connected with the purpose of it being God and His Son? It's also that they don't see the candlestick, but they behold the light that's shining forth. This is godly giving right here. It is giving needy sinners the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the power of God unto salvation, giving them the gospel. Here's the second thing. It's giving no offense in anything. Whether it's a good work or an evil work. No offense in anything. And it's giving the weaker brethren, freedom from temporal burdens by providing for them. So they're not overcumbered by the temporal things and provisions of the world, and they can hear the gospel and rejoice in the gospel. And it's all for this end purpose, that the gospel be not hindered. I just can't press upon you how important this gospel, the Word, Christ is the Word, and this is the Word through which the Word is going to make us alive and feed us and build us up and grow us and keep us in Christ. The worship of Christ through the preaching of the gospel is of all things most important, because the one who is set forth by God's true messengers is Christ Jesus, who must have all preeminence in all things. Now, I remember a time when I had this tough year or so, and I was just kept asking the Lord to give me. I had seen His grace. I had beheld His grace. I had experienced His grace in being able to save in the most trying time, and it grew me. It made me want to just support the work. It made me want to have a job. And I was asking the Lord, give me a job that I can make some money, because I just want to support the gospel. Now, I see the importance of this gospel. I want to support my pastor, his family, the church, so that there be no hindrance, that they can hear this gospel preached. And we got a place people can come and hear this gospel preached. So the Lord gave me a job, and I was making plenty of money. And I was supporting the work. Not a tithe, not a tenth. This was faith. It was just trusting God and just from my heart overflowing with what he had done for me. And in the midst of this, as I began to work harder and harder and progress in the job and what have you and get more responsibilities in the job, throughout the week, a lot of times, I would either be working or I'd just be too spent to go, and I just started missing some midweek services. And the pastor, my pastor, was talking to me one day, and he reminded me. He said, "Clay, you're a part of the Sunday service." I was teaching the kids. And he said, "You're a part of the Sunday service." And he said, "That means every eye is on you." And he says to me, he said, "Now, it's important that you not only teach them, but you show them that everything else is secondary. Christ is preeminent completely." And I realized that though I was doing everything to provide for him and his family in the church, and though my motive was is that the gospel wouldn't be hindered and that everybody would see Christ and be able to come and sit and hear Christ and rejoice in Christ, I was being counterproductive to the reason I was even doing that. Our giving or any other good thing that we might do matters absolutely nothing if the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is not preeminent in our hearts, so that those around us behold that he is preeminent. He is preeminent. So you can't separate the word of the gospel from the reason for these practical exhortations and what it is that we do. Why do we do these things? It's that the gospel of Christ be not hindered, so that all behold that there is nothing as important as hearing the word of life, the Prince of life, Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory. This is how God's going to save. This is how he's promised to save from the beginning. So in every word that the Lord teaches us in his word, and in every aspect of his dealing with us in our lives, in our homes, in our community, in our jobs, in trials, in good times or in trials, whatever. Seek to behold first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christ Jesus the King, the righteousness, the Lord our right. Behold him. Seek to behold him first in this word, in every word of it, and in every aspect of our life. Because everything that exists in this world, in heaven, in earth, in the world, in the church, in your family, in mine, visible, invisible, exists for one reason. That in all, Christ Jesus, the dearly beloved Son of God, might have all preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I'm saying that to you because we don't just merely preach about giving without declaring why. You want faithful husbands and faithful wives? We don't want to just create faithful husbands and faithful wives. The religion of the world is serving that purpose. And God's using it for that purpose, to make the place a little bit better for his brethren. But we want to hear of Christ the husband, who was faithful to his bride, and who brings his bride into subjection to him. And therein, through faith in him, he'll make us faithful husbands and faithful wives. We don't just want to have faithful sons and daughters. I want to have obedient children. I want you to have obedient children. But we want that obedience to be created, not because they're just scared of us and want to serve us because they're afraid if they step out of line, we're going to yank a knot in their rear end. We want it to be because they've heard of Christ the faithful Son, and they trust Christ the faithful Son, and they're constrained by the love of Christ the faithful Son, who was faithful to God his Father. We want faithful workers. We want to be faithful workers and faithful bosses. But not just to be men pleasers, not just to be faithful workers and faithful bosses, but we want it to be from the heart that's heard of the faithful servant of God and rejoices in his service toward God for us. We want to be in submission to him who said, I must be about my Father's business. The one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Who said, I'm the faithful one. That's why. We want faithful church members. But not just to join the church, not just to come and join in with a religious organization. We want them to be faithful church members because they've heard of Christ, the head of the church. The one that God the Father entrusted all the government of his church to. The one whose church is his body, the fullness of him, who's promised that he will edify every individual member through the word of this gospel, making the whole to be one united, no schism in the body. That's why we want faithful church members. So on this subject of giving here, now Paul says, this is why I did it. This is why Paul didn't go around saying, now y'all make sure you know that I'm working now and not causing you to do it. But he's leaving now. And he said, I preached this gospel to you. And he said, and as I did it, you know how that I didn't make it burdensome on you. I didn't put any burden on you for one reason, that the gospel be not hindered. Now, when he was there, Paul preached about giving. He wrote to the Ephesians about giving. He preached everywhere he went about giving. Let's think about how Paul preached about giving. And we'll understand how that you can't divorce the word of this gospel from the reason that we're givers. He wasn't trying to just create preachers. He was trying to preach the gospel of Christ so that Christ, through his effectual working in them, would make them preachers of Christ in him crucified. He wasn't trying to just create givers. He was teaching them who Christ is, what he's done, why he did it, where he is now, so that they would be made givers of the word of life. Givers of the gospel, that they would make sure that in everything they gave no offense, and that in everything they took all burden away so that men could behold the gospel of Christ. Let's hear what Paul might have preached. We know what he preached because we can read it. But here's the first thing that I've written down. The triune God and the Lord Jesus Christ is the giver. You want to be a giver? You've got to learn who the giver is first. He's the giver. God the Father gave His only begotten Son. This is the record. God hath given eternal life, and this life's in His Son. And God said, for that reason, because He gave Him, He said, hear Him. Hear Him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I give my life for the sheep. I give my life for the sheep. No man can come to me, to the Father, but by me, He said. And the Holy Spirit gives sinners a true understanding directly from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read John 16 if you want to look there. John 16, 13. He's the giver. The Holy Spirit's the giver of the truth, the understanding in the heart. Verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Look down at verse 14. He shall glorify me. This is Christ speaking. For He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So you see, that God the Father gave His Son, God the Son gave His life, and God the Holy Spirit gives you an understanding that Christ is all. You and I were too poor, we were too needy, we were too bankrupt to even know that we didn't have anything to give to God. We were trying to be givers so we could get God to give to us. We were trying to be faithful husbands and fathers so He'd give us something. So we could earn something. Religion's going about trying to give something just to get God to give to them. The Lord said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world is mine and all the fullness thereof. He said, the silver's mine, the gold is mine. He said, Lebanon's not sufficient to burn, and the beast thereof for a burnt offering to satisfy me. We got nothing to give to him. Salvation's not about us giving him something. It's about what God's given. It's the free gift of God to those he chose in Christ. Let me read a few verses in Romans. If you want to look there. Paul's constantly talking about this gift, this free gift. Romans 6. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earned. That's what we earned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Romans 5 there. Romans 5 verse 15. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The free gift's different than the way the offense came about. For through the offense of one, Adam, many died. Much more the grace of God. Unmerited, free, the grace of God, and the gift by grace, by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So that's the first thing we see. The giver is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, who laid down his life, who is the express image of God, the one that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit says, look at him. Look at him. And then here's the second thing. I said to you that all the doctrine has its light from Christ. That's what I just tried to show you there. If you're going to understand, what are we giving for? Why are we giving? What's the purpose of giving? It's because don't give if you're not trusting the giver. Don't give if you're not sold, if you're not just cast all your care, lock, stock, and barrel on the free justification that you have in Christ. That Christ is your all. That He's everything that God requires of you. Don't give anything. Because if you do, you're going to give expecting God to give you something. Unless you totally trust in God. See that you don't have anything to give. Praise is all we have to give. Praise. Praise. Now, I said that was Christ the light. Now, it's Christ the light through the Holy Spirit that God works in the believer to do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Whether it's giving, being a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a faithful son, a faithful daughter, any of these things, a faithful master or boss or whatever it is. This He works effectually in the heart to make us do this by faith. He does that. Watch this. Ephesians 3:7. How did Paul come to do this? How did he said, I received this of God, of Christ. Ephesians 3:7, he says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. That's how I was made a minister. That's how I came to you in the first place. It's by the gift of the grace of God, by His effectual power working in me. Over in Ephesians 4:7, he says, and unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And when He ascended, He gave gift. He gave apostles and pastors and teachers. He said, I'll give pastors after my own heart. Everything's given. Him. Effectual grace means our Lord makes every believer a giver from the heart. That's what He's going to make every believer a giver from the heart. Not by something I've done, not by something you've done, not by something Mama and Daddy did, but He does it effectually in the heart. You remember And it's this. Men are going to see this light, but you're not going about trying to make them see this light. Trying to see you. And I'll give you an example. We saw this several sermons ago, but when Paul was talking there about following me over in Corinthians, he said there in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, "You've got all these instructors in Christ, but you've got not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I've begotten you through the gospel." And he says, "And for this cause, I sent my beloved son, Timotheus, who's faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance my ways, my teaching, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." God the Father gave His Son, and He gave His Son, and He effectually worked grace in the heart of Paul, and He gave him grace to be a minister of the gospel. And you know how it showed? The light that... It wasn't that Paul was going around trying to make men see he's a giver. It was that he says, "God gave me His Son and saved me. Now I'm going to give you Timothy, my beloved son, and he's going to come and preach God's Son to you." Because that's what God did to me. He says, "That's why I gave that this there would be no hindrance so that you might behold the gospel of Christ, the weaker brethren." So first, it's from the doctrine has to be from the light of Christ. Secondly, to be effectual in our hearts, it's worked by the Spirit of God, making it effectual by His power in our heart, by the gift of grace in our heart. And then thirdly, the end purpose of it all is to glorify Christ the light. Isn't that right? Paul said, or the Lord said, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Look at 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Right after the book of James, right after the book of Hebrews, James, then 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Look at this. I love this. What did the Lord mean by that? "Freely ye have received, freely give." Peter says it. Verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10. He says this. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." How'd you receive it? Freely it was given. Freely you've received, freely give it. And look what he said. "If any man speak, speak as the oracles of God." Say what God says. "If any man minister, do it as of the ability which God has given you, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's exactly what Paul is teaching the Ephesian elders as he leaves them to feed the church of God. He says, now that I'm leaving, he says, "Now I'm not going to be with you anymore. So I'm going to remind you of what I have done for you." And he says, "I taught you the gospel of Christ. I taught you that Christ is the giver. Eternal life's in God's Son. He's the giver. I taught you this." And he said, "And I showed you that I trust Him by providing for myself and providing for those that were with me so that this gospel wouldn't be hindered." He didn't set this example just to make them do something. He didn't preach this gospel just to make them do something. He did everything he did that this gospel, that God worked through this gospel and make it effectual in their hearts. Now, any light, so-called light, that turns men from Christ, I don't care if it's telling them to be givers, as good a deed as it is to give to the poor, if that gospel's not getting its light from Christ, which I've tried to show you here, how He's the giver, if it's not been wrought effectually in the hearts of the people by Christ, but they've been constrained and compelled and made to feel guilty if they don't do it, then it's not going to be for the glory of Christ. It's light that it's sparks that men have kindled themselves, and they're trying to walk in themselves and glory in other flesh. They've taken away Christ, the key of the gospel. He's the key. Unlock the mystery of this day. And I'll give you a proof of this. Right now, our whole nation, and it's affecting the whole world, but our whole nation has gone green. That's nothing wrong with that. Provide for the earth and try to keep the waters clean and try to keep it from being polluted. And everybody's going after it. Everybody's doing it. But not because the Creator's been set forth. Not because God has been set forth and it's worked effectually in their heart and they're doing it for the glory of Christ. It's creature worship. It's worshiping the creation more than the Creator. Worshiping the creature more than the Creator. We can get men to do anything. That's not hard. Not hard at all. But get them to stop doing and to trust Christ. You can't do that. You can't do that. And it's only that when Christ has made us to stop doing and to trust Him that He makes us fit to be used by the Master. Sanctified for every good work then. And I want you to notice something here in this, in Acts 20 now. Paul still doesn't compel or constrain them by his authority to do this. But listen to what he said. He said, I've showed you, down there in verse 35, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Why didn't he say, now I'm going to be checking in on you, and if you're not doing this, he just said, I've showed you this is how you ought to do it. And he left it at that. He did the same thing in this word of his deed, of his example, that he did when he got to the end of talking to them about preaching his gospel. And he did it for the same reason. Because he said, I've commended you to God in the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. If you're going to do this, it's going to be by God, by His grace, by the word of His grace, for the word of His grace, for the setting forth of the word of His grace, that needy, helpless, destitute, bankrupt sinners will be given the gospel of salvation that's going to save them. And if it's done for any other reason, you're just tinkling brass, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You might as well go join up with the YMCA. That'd do you more good than joining up with that religious organization. And here's why he did it. He said over in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and here he's talking about temporal giving, but this is true of everything he's taught us in this 20th chapter and everything he's set forth here for these elders. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. Look down at verse 13. And he says, and by this experiment of this ministration, he's talking about giving right here. He says, they're going to glorify God, and here's why. For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. See that? Because you're subject to the truth of Christ, to Christ who is the truth. And for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And he look down now, this next word right here, verse 14. They're going to pray for you. They're going to thank God for you because they long after you. Here's what they're going to be thankful for. The exceeding grace of God in you. How'd it come about? The word of the gospel. The light. That's how you heard and understood that this work is. You understood this work. It's through Christ the light. If He don't shine the light on this word, on anything about this word, you'll go do these things or not do these things, whichever it tells you to do or not do, thinking that you have life in those things, not realizing that the life is Christ our eternal life. You'll search the Scriptures, thinking in them you have life. And these are they which testify of Christ. Everything is testifying of Christ. And he says in verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Do you see? Do you see the three things that we saw here now in all this? Make sure you get this. All doctrine is understood only in the light of Christ. And if Christ is not preached beginning to end, and you're not going to understand why, you might do something, but you won't know why, and you won't do it for the right reason. Secondly, it's through this gospel of Christ, the light, that Christ Himself is going to enter in through the Spirit and make you trust Him and make you willing to do that which He said. And then thirdly, the end purpose of it all is for the glory of Christ, who is all our salvation, that other needy, helpless, bankrupt sinners just like you will get this gospel of Christ. And we saw this as the godly giving right here. Giving needy sinners the gospel. Giving no offense in anything. And giving the weaker brethren freedom from temporal burdens so they can see Christ. All for the glory of Christ. That's what Christ did for you who believe. He gave you the truth of the gospel. He is the truth. And He gave you that truth. He gave no offense in anything that He might be the spotless Lamb of God and redeem you from all your sins and make you perfectly accepted in God Almighty. And in that, in those two things, He relieved you of every burden that you have. That's giving. That's godly giving. And who's going to get all the glory for it? He is. All right.